This is the highlight of my week. It really is to come and open the Word. I always believe that God will transform you from hearing the Word, spending time with Him. But let us pray. Let us pray and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, we come here tonight for one purpose, and that is to be transformed by You. By the renewing of our minds, Lord, by the washing of the Word, we come. And so we ask, Lord, would You show us Your way? Lord, when we committed to follow You, Lord, we committed to follow Your ways, not our ways. We've lived long enough in that. But instead, the deal we have with You is that we will follow You and we will follow Your ways. So will You illuminate Your ways this evening? And we say yes and amen. We agree with You. Open our eyes that deception would fall off. Open our ears, Lord, that we would hear more clearly. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. Go ahead, if you would, turn to the book of Acts. We are going to go through the book of Acts. We began last week. And I've titled this series, Unstoppable. Unstoppable. That's really what the church is called to do. And, you know, I'm going to talk today really about unstoppable power. Power is interesting if you study power. In fact, we're in the middle of a power cycle in our nation. You're like, what do you mean in the middle of a power cycle? That's really what politics is about. We're right in the middle of the political cycle, and politics is about power. It's about, you know, either personal power or power for a certain party, but it's about power and influence. It's about earthly power and influence. And what I'm going to talk about today is really supernatural power. That kind of power is unstoppable. It is in the book of Acts. As you read through the book of Acts, I get excited whenever I'm feeling myself getting a little dull. Whenever I feel myself getting a little worn out, I get into the book of Acts because it charges me up. Because all through the book of Acts, I mean, we know it as the Acts of the Apostle, but it could really be also called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real active in the book of Acts, and He should be in our lives. Last week, I brought a message called The Unstoppable Spirit-Filled Church. The Unstoppable Spirit-Filled Church. That really describes East River. That describes what all churches should be. And we said that the Unstoppable Spirit-Filled Church always advances, regardless of what the society does. We don't take our cues from society. In fact, you and I used to, and we came out of that. They've got nothing to offer me. I've tried it all. You've tried it all. And so the church advances. The church overcomes whatever the enemy brings against it. The Spirit-Filled Church fulfills the assignments it was given, and it moves in authority and power. Once again, you could ask, what authority? Whose authority? What power? Whose power? It's the authority of Jesus. It's the authority of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, God Himself. So I want to look at verse 8 of Acts 1. So if you turn there with me, we'll read along. And this is Jesus speaking, and He's telling the disciples the following is going to happen. And here's what He says will happen. It says, but you shall receive what? Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So He tells them this great thing. And you know, it must be important, because right after He says that, He ascends back to heaven. In fact, the disciples are watching Him like, whoa. And an angel says, just the way you saw Him leave, He will come again. We just sang about Him, right? Lord, You're coming again. And I believe He is coming again real soon. He gave us signs in the Scriptures. And as we look at the signs, we know it's coming soon. So we want to be right. But verse 8 is really pivotal to the book of Acts. You could almost say it's the mission statement. It's the anchor that the rest of the book it revolves around. And so in this one verse, I kind of see an outline. It talks about power. We just read that. It really talks about purpose, and it talks about a plan. And those are the three things I'm going to look at. I'm going to look at the power that's supposed to be in the church, in us. I'm going to look at the purpose, and I'm going to look at the plan for the church. So the first thing is the power. The Holy Spirit, dunamis power. When He says, you shall receive power, that word, dunamis, is where we get our word dynamite or dynamo or dynamic. So he said, the power that I'm going to give you, right? The power that I'm going to give you is a power for working miracles. It's an energy. It's supernatural. You can't buy this power. You can't muster it. I mean, you can sign up for the gym and you still can't access this power because this is supernatural power. And it's the power that I give to the believer to equip him. It's called the Holy Spirit, my very own spirit. You know, one of the things that I'm looking at, not only tonight, but in the weeks to come, and that is to, if I can teach you one thing, if there's one thing that I want you to understand, is, and that is this, that God is a generous God. He loves to give. And he gave his own spirit to us. His spirit is resident in us. To those that are followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is resident in us. Yet, it's an interesting thing that a lot of people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are really afraid of the Holy Spirit, or they're also confused about the Holy Spirit. And it shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't be that way. There's something that really the enemy has done to have us afraid of God's Spirit, his presence in us. You know, in the Old Testament, they're like, oh, Lord, come and reside in us. And you and I are New Covenant people. We're New Testament people. He resides in us in a very unique way. I mean, the saints of old would envy what you and I have, the very presence of God resident in us, the very power of God resident in us. They'd love to have that. And it's really integral to us because we won't carry out the things that the Lord has asked us to carry out apart from the power of His Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times believers, the way they conduct their lives is like an ex-smoker does. Or somebody's thinking of quitting smoking, right? An ex-smoker, oh, I'm going to quit smoking. And 35 minutes later, I got to have one more, right? And that's really the way believers are. They read this book and they understand there's certain things in our lives that are got to go away. They got to go away. Back in the day, you guys know I used to drink a bit, right? A bit. It's debatable what a bit is. But as I read the scripture, I knew that's got to go away. It's got to go away. I used to fight a bit. You know, I don't know why. Just people, used to make me mad. It was their fault. Always. And as I read the scripture, I knew that had to go. That had to go. You know, all these things, as I read the scripture, those things had to go. But you see, in my own power, I don't have the power to make those things go away. And so the Lord says, it's okay, I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you an assignment, and it's my power that will help you carry it out. In fact, in Matthew 28, Jesus gave the church the assignment, what's called the Great Commission, that we go and make disciples of all nations. Well, the only way we can carry that assignment out is really through the power, the equipping power of the Holy Spirit. We that's the way we do it. Sometimes we think what we're supposed to do is go teach people this book, which we should. But when we teach them this book, oftentimes what we've done, we've just taught them head knowledge. We've taught them to learn, not to do. Big difference. They need to do both. That's why we disciple people in this place. We not only want them to learn, we want them to learn so that they will do. But the only way you can do is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to be a frustrated Christian. And I know a lot of frustrated Christians. They're like, man, this stuff isn't working. Well, it's not working because you're trying to do it on yourself, on your own. And it won't work that way. And so here, I'll take you back just another verse there. We're looking at verse 8, but looking at verse 5. Jesus, it's interesting how he connects this receiving of this power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, he says, for John, talking about John the Baptist, truly baptized with water. And now look at the connection he makes. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It's kind of an interesting thing because a lot of people get into all kinds of arguments about that. They debate that. What does that mean? You know what it means? You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's what it means. It's unbelievable to me that people argue over things that are in the scriptures. And as we go through the book of Acts, it's all over the scriptures. But believers, they argue ad nauseum. Is that the word I want to use? Right? That, I mean, on and on and on about things like this. Because what's interesting about Scripture, it tells us that this is going to happen, but it really doesn't teach us how it's going to happen. And it's referred to in various ways. It talks about, you know, being filled, right? Being baptized, receiving. It mentions it in several different terminologies. And so people argue about that. They look it up. You know, what does it mean to be filled? And they write a book about what it means. And they say it's different than to receive. And they argue and they argue and argue. You know what? The enemy has really fed us a good one there. He's got us arguing and not doing. See, it'd be like this. Think about how stupid this would be. Right? If somebody says, well, you know what, I go to East River. Somebody says, well, I attend East River. Someone says, well, no, I worship at East River. And and they get an argument over what that means. It means the same thing, right? You're like, if you're listening to people argue about which one, you're just like, wait a minute, they're all the same. And it's the same here regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit, regarding what God gives. And so I want to make sure that you understand that the Lord is a giver. And here's the second thing I want you to understand, that whatever he gives is good. Whatever he gives is good. Don't be afraid of what he gives. And yet the enemy has made us believe that if God's going to give us something to do with the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, the second person of the Trinity, that we're like, whoa, we're a little bit suspect. We're taught to be a little suspicious. We're not suspicious of God the Father. We're not suspicious of God the Son, but we're a little suspicious of God the Holy Spirit because we think it's going to make us weird, right? Like, whoa, I don't want to be weird. I just want to put that aside right now and just let you know you already are weird, okay? So you're already, the rest of us know we're on to you. So don't worry, I'm going to be a weird. It's a question whether you're going to be weird or weirder, but it doesn't matter. He gives you something good. It's like this. It's like this. It's like your kid. You give your kid a gift at Christmas, and he's afraid to open this gift. You're like, well, why are you afraid to open this gift? Well, there may be a snake in there. I'm like, are you kidding me? See, that's the way we sometimes approach the things of the Spirit. We think, oh, it's going to be bad. So we ask our kid, well, who told you there might be a snake in there? My older brother. I mean, that's what older brothers do, right? They twist their brothers. But the Lord would never give us a snake. Whatever he gives us is always good, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. And so when we read the Scriptures, we let the Scriptures speak for themselves. If the Lord's going to give us something, it's good. And the way I do it, when I approach it, I'm like, Lord, I want that. And then I turn another couple pages. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. I want that too. And then I turn a few more pages. I'm like, whoa, I want that. And there's all kinds of, I mean, freaky stuff in the Bible. I'm going to tell you. There really is. But it's all good. It's all good. And so don't let anybody tell you any other way. Because I remember when I was discipled, and I'm grateful that I was discipled, but I was told certain things were of the devil. They're of the devil. Well, you know, I argued with them. Because they made a mistake. The first principle they taught me was this, let the Bible speak for itself. So when they would tell me, oh, this thing of the Spirit is of the devil, I'm like, no, it's of God, actually. I see it right here. Oh, no, it's of the devil. No, I see it, right? And that's the way to approach it. Let the Bible speak for itself. Don't let somebody that has their, you know, their preconceived ideas and they what they call proof texts, they put their ideas into the Scriptures and they leave all kinds of other Scriptures out. And so the Lord said, no, this, what I'm going to give you is going to be good. And so, he says, John truly baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to baptize. Baptizo means to immerse, to dip you in, to just, the metaphor is that it overwhelms you. It's not that you just, what I'm going to give you, you're just going to dip a little bit, right? I'm going to sprinkle you. No, he says, I'm going to baptize you. You'll know I have come. I mean, that's really the picture, the metaphor that he wants them to get. But here's another thing that's interesting to me. If you turn just a couple pages back to John 20, right, verse 22, This is Jesus. He's already been crucified. He's been in the grave. He's risen from the dead. Right? But before he ascends to heaven, look what he says in verse 20:22. He's speaking to his disciples. And it says this: he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They had already received the Holy Spirit. They've been, we would say, saved. That's the word we would use. They're saved. But yet, the Lord's saying, the Father has more for you. There's a different, whatever you want to use, and the word I use, a different dimension of what the Father wants to give you, of His Spirit. He's going to pour out spiritual power like you have not experienced before. And it's for free. He's going to give it to you. See, we're familiar with various works of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I will tell you, the Holy Spirit knew you and began to work in you before you actually accepted Him. Did you know that? Sometimes we think, well, the Holy Spirit didn't have anything to do with me until I accepted Him, until I gave up and said, I'm going to be a follower of yours. He began working in you even before that. That's the way you knew that you were a sinner. That's the way you knew that you were in rebellion. And it looks this way. When I was a young man, I was 18 years old, and there was a lot of stuff that I was into that wasn't good. But you know what? I didn't know it wasn't good. In fact, I thought it was good. And the more I did it, I thought it was real good. You were there once, so don't be looking at me like something's wrong with me. You know what I'm talking about? I used to hang out with a bunch of idiots too, doing what idiots do. And I remember when I went to, you know, places I shouldn't be, and like everybody else, getting all crazy. But I remember one day I showed up to that same place, and I'm like, well, this is stupid. Then I began to wonder, what's wrong with me? Because just 2 weeks ago, I'm thinking, yeah! And now I'm in the same place, and I'm like, this is stupid. I can't believe people are doing this. You know what began to happen? The Holy Spirit was working in me, and He was showing me. He was pulling off the blinders. And that's, we're very familiar with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. The world doesn't even know it sins, apart really from the Holy Spirit convicting the world. And that's how I knew that there was rebellion in my life. There was things in my life that I was doing. And we see that all through the books of Acts. When the gospel is proclaimed, you see the Holy Spirit begin to do some exciting things. Read it. I don't know if you've ever never read the book of Acts. Read it and reread it and reread it and reread it. It will always repaint the picture of what the church should be like. So that's really the power. The Holy Spirit, dunamis, dynamic, dynamite power, is what the Lord wants to give you. The second thing is about purpose. Why is He going to give you this power? So it goes to your head, hey, look what I can do. Not at all. Look what He says. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And here's the reason He's giving you power. And you shall be witnesses. Right? You shall be witnesses. Well, when you read that word, you're like, I don't need like a lot of power to be a witness from God. But if you understand, in the Greek, that word is really, it comes from the root word for martyr. A witness so passionate that you're willing to give up your life to carry the gospel. That's what He's talking about. On your own power, when things get tough, you're like, man, I'm out of here. That's what we do. Right? That's what we do. But it takes the power that He's going to give us, the Holy Spirit, to be witnesses the way Jesus is talking about witnesses. See, the disciples, time and time again, they got themselves mixed up. They got mixed up about earthly power. They did. Several times they asked Jesus, is now the time where you're going to restore Israel? Right? It's about the kingdom. What they were saying is this: we have the Republicans, we've got the Democrats, we've got the Independents, are we going to have the Jesus's party? And are we going to be part of your cabinet? See, they in their mind, they were thinking Jesus came to be an earthly king. That's what they thought. And we get to be His cabinet. Man, is now the time? In fact, at the very end, we look at it here in the book of Acts. They ask Him, Lord, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? Right before the Lord says He's going to send them power. He said, it's not for you to know the times, which the Father has fixed by His own authority. In other words, he's like, don't worry about earthly power. I've got heavenly power for a reason. And that is that you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to carry the message of Christ because the world needs the message. The message that says that the Lord wants to deliver his people from rebellion and sin, right? Because there will be a payday. There will be a day of accounting. And the Lord says, I love my creation so much that I don't want to leave them in that place. That's why the Lord came after me, and that's why he came after you. He didn't want to leave you there. You know, there's this lie that says somehow the Lord wants to just do away with his creation. Quite the contrary. He comes after us. It's we who run from him. It's we who run from him. And I know that because I did that. Right? And so all around us, there's people that are bound up. There's people that are bound out. There's people that the insecurities are eating them up. The fearfulness in them, the anxiety, the emptiness. There's some people around us that are so deceived, they think they're doing the right thing. They just like I did. People that were ignorant of God. I was so ignorant at one time. And I thought me and God were like this. I thought me and God are like this. You know why? Because I thought, you know what? I haven't killed anybody. So that was like the curve, the grading curve. Everything's kind of permissible, except he'd probably really be ticked if I killed somebody. Capital murder, capital offense. That's probably, yeah, that would probably tick God off. I probably wouldn't do very well. That's how ignorant I was until I heard the gospel. And I realized that he expects me to obey his laws. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've broken every one of them. But he didn't leave me there. He made a way, and that's what Jesus is all about. That's what his son's all about. So I'm grateful that people came and shared the gospel with me. Look at John 14:12. This is another reason you really need the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, here's a prerequisite. Whoever believes in me, that's the key, whoever believes in me, right, will also do the works that I do. Well, that's a pretty hard bar. If you look at what Jesus did, that's a high bar. But then he raises it even higher, and he says, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Well, if you work backwards, he's saying these things won't happen until I go to the Father. Why? Because he said, when I go to the Father, then the Father will send his Holy Spirit. And then you'll have the power to do not only what I did, but even greater things. You know how many times I've heard sermons on this and they're totally hedging their bets? In fact, the way I was taught the scripture is, well, he really doesn't mean that. He really doesn't mean that you're going to do the things that he did, even greater things. They say, well, he just means greater number. Because Jesus was one, and now there's over 2 billion people on planet Earth that are believers, so he meant more in number. You know what you call that? The spirit of stupid. That it really is. I'm like, are you serious? What's the big deal? If that's the case, what was the big deal? What was the big deal that he would even mention it? It means what it says. It means what it says. And yet that blows us because it means what it says, then we have to examine our life and we say, well, why am I not doing what Jesus is doing? Well, we are doing the things that Jesus is doing, right? This congregation, the Lord has used people from this congregation to raise two different people from the dead. Jesus raised people from the dead. So we are doing it. Now, what I get excited is I want to see that happening all the time. All the time. Right? I'm going after it. I figured this out a long time ago. There's never a problem with Jesus. There's maybe a problem with me. I'm thinking maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I don't have faith. I don't believe him in something. But he's not the problem. Because he says, no, you're going to do the same things I do, but greater works. And so he says you need to go out to people because all around you are people with what he described, like the Israelites. He said they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're just trying to find their way, and they're lost, and they don't even know they're lost. And so you need to go to them. You go to the sick, you go to the blind, you go to the homeless. In fact, even this morning, a group went out to find the homeless in Hillsboro. I don't know if you knew, but there's homeless in Hillsboro. So we go out and we find them. So they went out and fed them and prayed with them and clothed them. Just let them, just being there, being Jesus to them in a very real way. And that takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It really does, to be out there and to love people the way Jesus wanted to love them. And so we know the power. He said, I'm going to give you power, dynamic power, that you might be my witnesses to the degree that it will cost you something. Then the third thing really is the plan. What is the plan? The plan is that you're going to minister locally, you're going to minister regionally, and you're really going to minister all over the world. He says, that's the plan. The plan is that the gospel will go everywhere. Look at verse 8 again. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon me. You shall be my witnesses to me. Where? In Jerusalem. Right? So he's talking about Hillsboro. So you're going to witness about me here in Hillsboro. In all of Judea and Samaria, we're talking the Northwest. And even to the ends of the earth, you're going to go and witness to me. And we do that very same thing. In fact, from this congregation, we're taking 55 people to Mexico, I think. Right? To witness about Jesus. We've got several churches in Haiti going. We have ministries going in the Philippines. We have ministry in New Zealand and in Fiji even. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you read, but there's a typhoon that went through Fiji. Like 184 mile an hour winds. That's pretty bad. When people have huts, kind of, you know, they have these rickety buildings. And a lot of the people, they grow their own crops. That's how they subsist. And so we checked with the church that we work with there, and the church is okay, praise Jesus, but a lot of the congregation lost, you know, their crops and stuff like that. We sent them $1,000 right off the bat. Here, you know, buy rice, whatever you need to buy for the people to help them out. I mean, it he's telling us to go beyond this place, to think even larger than that, and so we will carry that out. But he said, you start in Jerusalem, you start in your own home, you start with your own family. You know, with me, I that's the easiest place for me to minister and witness is my own family. I talked to a lot of believers, and they was, oh, you know, it's hard to talk to my family about Jesus. And, you know, to me, that was the easiest thing I ever did. Did you know that? You know why it's so easy? Because they saw when I was an idiot, and then they see me now. It was easy. I'm like, you know what I was like. You know. In fact, yeah, I mean, my older brothers taught me that stuff, right? They knew what I was like, and they know what I'm like now. See, and I didn't, you know, go find some self-help books. I think I'm going to read some self-help books, and I'm going to change my life. Not at all. There was a transformation, and they know, so I'm exhibit number one. So I found witnessing to my family so easy, and you should too. You should too, right? You know, the only problem is if there hasn't been the transformation that the Lord wants to do, then that, yeah, I could see that being a problem. I mean, how well could I witness if I was still doing the same things that I did before I got saved? That wouldn't have been much of a witness. But they knew. And in fact, my brothers made it hard up for me. I mean, they wanted me to keep, they liked the old Carlos, the boozer and everything else. They liked that guy. He was fun. They didn't like the guy that says, hey, you want to go to church with me? Want to read the Bible? You know, who scrambled his brains? Right? I mean, that's the way they approached it. But then they began to see something in me, and then pretty soon they're asking me, hey, can I go to church with you? They saw that transformation. So we start right at home, and then we go to the community, right where we work, people around us, right? You know, your coworkers, and then beyond. But a lot of times we think, well, what am I going to say? What, you know, I just get all tongue-tied. Look at John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, once again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Don't worry about it. He'll get you ready. If he wants you to witness at work, he's going to get you ready. You just got to be available. Right? If he's going to get you to witness in the neighborhood, which you did the other day, yeah, at first you're nervous, but guess what? He shows up. It's the way it works. Because I just want people that are available. And I'll teach you all that you need to. And I'm going to bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. That's why in our discipleship program, we have them memorize verses. I mean, our discipleship program, they know a lot of verses. And the reason is because when it comes time, the Holy Spirit can bring that verse up anytime he wants. He says, don't worry about it. You just keep reading the word. And when the time comes, I'm going to remind you of the things that I've done that. See, with me, it's this simple. When I give my testimony, as I said, this is what I was before Jesus. This is how I met him. And this is how I am now. It's that simple. Two minute testimony. And when people who knew the way I was and when knew who I am and I told them my testimony the way I was, they looked at me like, "Are you serious?" Yeah, but it's Jesus, right? He's the one that did this. And so the Lord has some amazing plans for you, church. Mm-hmm. But it's all in the realm of the supernatural, not the realm of the natural. The natural to me is boring. Can I get an amen? Down here is boring to me. You know why I say it's boring? Because any idiot can do this. Anybody can act. Anybody. See, to me, it's not exciting to me. If anybody can do it, that's not exciting to me. But the supernatural, the things of the Spirit, that's where I get excited. Okay? That's why at work, people would line up on my door to come talk to me. Because they knew when I pray, stuff happens. Why? Because I got the Holy Spirit in me. Very presence of God. And so they would line up to get prayer. Right? They may not believe in the God that I believe, but they know it works. They know it works. And that's a start. That's a start. I'll take that all day long. But here's what I'm going to, Steve, coming up. I'm gonna close with just this. This is a simple thing. This is the simple thing that I'm going to ask you to do. When we worship right now, I just want you to say this. Somewhere during worship, I want you to say, "Lord, I'm open to what you have for me. I'm open to what you have. Because I know that what you have for me is good. I'm open to your Holy Spirit. I'm open to the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm open to any spiritual gift you have. I'm open to spiritual language. I'm open to whatever you have for me. I'm open, Lord." And then your assignment, as you read the scriptures this week, I want you to read the book of Acts with a marker. And every time you see the Holy Spirit do something, I want you to highlight it and say, "I want that." And you turn and, "I want that." And you're going to see the things that you've been told, or weird, or the things that you've been told, it's of the devil, you're going to see quite the contrary. It's of God, and he wants to give it to you. Will you do that? Start saying, "Lord, I'm open to whatever you have for me." Everybody up.
Feels changed now. See it all.